Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. And I am so happy to have my sound effect back. Anyway, hey, it's Dolo White. This is the Dolo White Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about yoga. Now, I want you to do this for me. Close your eyes and think about what you see when you hear the word yoga. Probably a thinner white woman, definitely a soccer mom, bending her body in ways that you would imagine a Cirque du Soleil performer would. Now, open your eyes and punch yourself in the fucking face. Metaphorically, of course, but get that vision out of your head, because apparently, and this was a surprise to me as well, that's not what yoga is about. Now, if you follow me on social media, you probably know that my wife recently completed a 3-week yoga teacher training in Costa Rica, and you may find it suspicious that I'm now all of a sudden advocating yoga in a podcast, but let me assure you of this. One, the following presentation is not an infomercial on why you should spend your yoga dollars with my wife, and two, I don't know shit about yoga, which means I cannot push it on you, but my guest today can. Her name is Jessamyn Stanley. She's the author of 2 books, Everybody Yoga and Yoke, and she advocates that all people of all shapes and ethnicities try yoga. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Pull up, get it. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 38 now of the Dolo White Podcast. Very excited to have my guest today, Jessamyn Stanley, author, yogi, just overall dope individual. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored and humbled to be here with you.
So I know this isn't your first book, but Yoke is the book that is out right now. There's so many things we could cover. I don't even really know where to start. Let's start with Yoke, your newest book. So tell us about that first, and then we'll get into everything else.
Totally. So Yoke is the follow-up to my first book, Everybody Yoga. And I really knew that I was going to need to write it while I was writing Everybody Yoga. Everybody Yoga is really an introduction to yoga. Like, you could read that book and go from sitting on the couch at the start to practicing downward facing dog by the end. But I realized when I was writing it that I was really only talking about a very small part of what yoga is. Yoga is often thought of as just postures. It's thought of as exercise, honestly. And it really is a spiritual practice. And so much of the real power of the practice comes when you take the lessons that you learn on the mat, whether that's strength, grounding, flexibility, and you apply that to other parts of your life. And so Yoke, my yoga of self-acceptance, is about that process of finding strengthening and grounding and flexibility in some of the hardest moments in life. And it's really about finding a way to accept yourself, every single part of yourself, especially the stuff you don't like.
I think it's interesting because, like you said, when we think about yoga, especially here in America, we think of the postures and we think of this super just fit person that's bending backwards. And you're like, there's no way I can even think about doing that. Right. But that's not what it's about. And I think that's a hard concept to grasp, especially for somebody like me. I'm a Leo, so I'm competitive by nature. My wife just like literally just got back from Costa Rica from doing a 3-week yoga teacher training with Jai Wellness there. And I'm like, yeah, I want to try it. I want to do some yoga with you, but I don't know if I'm going to do it right. And she's like, it's not about that. So for dumbasses like myself that are trying to wrap our minds around these concepts, can you break some of them down for me?
First of all, you are describing so many people.
Yes.
Like, legit. I feel like everyone is like, first of all, I cannot do these like Cirque du Soleil moves. I'm not doing that. And like when you do go to class, people will be like, oh my God, it's going to be so calm and chill. And you get there and it's hard as hell. You're like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. This is really difficult. And like the reality is that the postures are really just a vehicle to get you to experience yourself. So that if you are practicing, it could literally be any posture, but let's say it's downward facing dog. You're practicing downward facing dog. When you're practicing it, you're thinking like, am I doing this right? Is this like, what are all the other people in the room doing? Am I getting this the way that I should be? This hurts my wrists. What does that mean? Like all of these different thoughts are coming up, and the yoga is being able to be like, oh, these are thoughts that I have all the time. Like what other parts of my life am I feeling not good enough? What other parts of my life am I asking? What are other people thinking? What other parts of my life? Like it's really about applying every single thing that comes up on the mat to the other parts of your life so that there's no way to practice the postures wrong. There's no way to like not be good enough because every expression of it is perfect. Everything is exactly where it needs to be.
How did you get into yoga? Because I know you advocate for people of all sizes and body types and people of all races. Like how did you start and what was your mindset when you started? I mean, did you approach it with what you just said or were you like, oh shit, I'm scared. I don't know about this.
First of all, I thought that yoga was just for thin white women. So I was like, this does not have anything to do with me. And like I had done it once when I was in high school and absolutely hated it. I was like, this is the worst, the actual worst. And then when I was in graduate school, I was going through a really hard time in my life that honestly, everyone has been through some version of what I was going through. And a friend of mine was really into yoga and she was like, oh my God, you should come to yoga with me. And I was like, absolutely not. I know this is not for me. You got me. I'm not doing this. And then she just got me caught up on a Groupon. I was like, what's the worst that could happen? I'll get this Groupon. I'll go one time. It's not a big deal. But I ended up really appreciating that even though like, first of all, I was definitely one of the only fat people, one of the only Black people. It was a very alienating experience for me, but it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. It made me encounter things about myself that I had never tried to engage with before. And it made me confront parts of myself that I otherwise would have just kept hidden. And that definitely is why I still continue to come to the practice, because it allows me a really safe space to be able to engage with my most true self. And my advocacy for other people practicing yoga has really only come through my own practice. Like I look at the way that yoga is shown in the mainstream, where it's just like literally thin white people practicing like very difficult, honestly, gymnastics is what they're doing. And I'm like, that's not what yoga is. Yoga is about being messy. It's about being problematic. Mm-hmm. It's about saying the wrong thing. It's about falling down and finding the beauty and getting back up after you've fallen down. And so in just sharing my own yoga practice, that inadvertently advocates for other people, anyone who does not see themselves represented, not just in the yoga world, but in every other part of this world as well. It allows space for everyone to know that it's okay to be yourself.
When you speak with other people that might be a little hesitant to you know, try yoga, what is it that you run into the most? Like, what is the thing that they say, like, I can't do this because...
Definitely the most common thing is, I can't even touch my toes. Like, they'll be like, I can't do yoga. I can't touch my toes. And I'm like, I mean, first of all, if you bend your knees all the way, you can touch your toes. So like literally that as a concept, I'm like, you could probably touch your toes. But also like everybody is extremely flexible. Like all human bodies are so flexible. It's just that we sit at desks all day and we sit in our cars and we hold our devices really tight and we have our shoulders hunched up to our ears. human beings are not meant to be robots. Human beings are meant to move like lions. We're meant, speaking of Leo season, we're meant to move like lions. We're meant to lunge and jump and be like spreading our hands wide and really just like in this space of full active life. And that is what the practice is really offering. It's offering you an opportunity to get back in touch with that wild, undomesticated being inside of you. And I think that everybody's flexibility gets like caught up because of the ways that we typically sit and stand. But with a little bit of breath work, the breath is really the lubrication. It is the primary motivator. Like if there's anything that you show up in a yoga practice for, it's really just for opportunities to breathe and to connect with your breath. But that breath lubricates the muscles and the joints and allows for a fluidity and a flexibility that even in people who live, I mean, I'm talking about like decades of sitting still, there's immense flexibility that's available to all human beings.
And I think it needs to go to be said, as loud as possible for the people in the back and the people like me that yoga isn't about, like you said, it's not about the movement. It's more about the breath. It's always more about that, correct? Like that's
exactly. It's all about breathing. Like you don't even have to practice any specific yoga posture to practice that breath work. Like you can sit quietly with your eyes closed and that breathing, that is yoga. Like honestly, you don't even have to call it yoga for it to be yoga. I always think that ultimately everything in this life is yoga. And my book, Yoke, is really about that. It's about seeing that like every single thing that you're practicing in those postures, it's showing up in other parts of your life as well, so that you end up having to, in the same way that you reckon with things on the mat, you end up having to reckon with parts of yourself that you're like, wow, I really hadn't been looking at that before. Like for me, it shows up in recognizing and accepting my internalized racism, my internalized fat phobia, where I sit at the intersection of capitalism and spirituality, like cultural appropriation, really needing to like just sit with all of these things and ultimately accept them.
You talk a lot about body image as well. And I think we all have something, right? At least some kind of body image problems. Are yours at this point, do you consider yourself healed from body image issues? Or is it something that you're like, I just push through it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I think of body shaming as an addiction, and that it's something that like, it's one of my first addictions. It's something that I learned about at a very young age. I was conditioned to shame myself. And I was conditioned by not just by my family and friends, but by the media to constantly be shaming myself. And I think I would say that everybody has this experience of shaming themselves. And what I think of when I think about healing this is I look at alcoholics, for example. An alcoholic does not say, I used to be an alcoholic and now I'm not anymore. An alcoholic is like, I'm an alcoholic for life. Like even after you are in a period of healing, you are still an alcoholic. And so in that same way, I have definitely move forward on a path toward body liberation and really accepting my body for what it is. But I am a body shamer. It's my addiction. And it's something that being able to own that for myself means that I am able to appreciate the journey of all of this, because there are high points and great days, and there are low points and bad days. And all of the days are important. It's not like only the good days count. Like there's no, I think the final resting point will be when my life is over. I think that while I am here, this is the experience that I'm having. And I think that really being able to be okay with that, with the journey of all of it, and not being so focused on the destination, allows for a sense of calm and inner peace as a result.
How has yoga directly kind of helped issues like that with you?
You know, I think that a lot of times those things are equated, where it's like, oh, if you practice yoga and you hate your body, then yoga must help you not hate your body.
Yes.
And like, I know so many yoga people who hate their bodies, but like, I just don't know that I see the connection necessarily. I think that yoga is about something much bigger than our physical bodies. Like, yoga is really about accepting that there's a spirit inside of this body. And so in that way, I do think that it helps us to, or it helps me anyway, to be able to see the bigger picture in a different way. But at the same time, again, there are many yoga practitioners who are very hateful toward their bodies, and that is their yoga. You know, like, it's not, that's their push-pull, that's their yoking, their union. And for me, the thing that has been most beneficial in my own body liberation journey has been actually accepting the things that I say about myself and not blaming other people for those things. So that, like, I definitely spent a lot of time being like, it's the media. There was more representation and visibility of fat people doing things than I would love myself more. And, or like, it's my parents, you know, they didn't show me or tell me that it's okay for me to look the way that I do. And the reality is that I say these things to myself. I am the one who is doing these things. I am my own worst enemy. And really just being able to let that be the case and not try to change it or fix it or do anything different, just let it be what it is. That has been so cleansing for me and has allowed me to really, really find a home within myself.
I love that answer so much, because the question, you know, was how has yoga helped you with these experiences? And I think everybody is looking for an answer. Like, I want to fix this about myself. What is the fucking pill that I can swallow to fix this about myself? And you're like, there is no fucking pill. And here we are. And I absolutely love that, because I even need to be reminded of that myself, because I think naturally I'm like, hey, well, yoga helped me with this. I'll try it. I'll try anything if I can fix this about myself. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it. I don't care.
That's exactly right.
I absolutely love that answer, because it was a great reminder even to me who's asking the questions here. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yo, like, I have to remind myself about this. With yoga and men, because I don't see nearly as many men in yoga as, you know, as I do women. What do you think the kind of holdup is for men, or the?
I think that yoga is very often, like, specifically marketed to thin, white, wealthy women who are cisgender and heterosexual and who, like, have the extra time to practice, to go to Lululemon and get their leggings and get their coffee. And, like, anyone who doesn't see themselves in that mold feels like, oh, yoga must not be for me. And so men are definitely a huge part of that. Oh, yeah. Men are like, yeah. And on top of that, there's the sexism that's at play, where men are like, that's a girl thing. Right. That's not a boy thing. I won't be doing that. Right. But it's ironic, because actually classical yoga was only taught to men. Like, it's only been since the 20th century, really, that women have been practicing yoga. Yoga has been taught and practiced for thousands of years, and it was almost entirely men that were doing it. So it's this really interesting, like, shift in American yoga culture that really just has a lot to do with marketing. And also, I think that because there is so much emotional vulnerability coming through in yoga, men are not socialized to feel like vulnerability is appropriate. Men are like, yeah, I will not be crying at a yoga class. Like, I'm not going to be doing that. So it's dope that not just men, but that anyone who feels marginalized to any degree, it's dope that there are so many people who are, like, making their own communities of yoga practitioners and, like, making space. There are so many, there's even something called Broga, where it's like bros coming together to practice yoga. Like, legit, it's a whole thing. So, I mean, I definitely see why, but yoga is really for everybody. It doesn't have anything to do with what you look like.
And you can try it, you know, if you're nervous about being seen in front of other people, you can do it with YouTube and a mat at your house. Like, you don't have to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have to go in front of 50 people to do yoga. You can do that at the house. I could sit here and talk to you all day. I think you're absolutely amazing. I love everything you're doing. I am going to make my wife teach me yoga now that she's completely trained. So, you know, next time we talk, maybe, you know, I'll have a little more insight on it than I do right now, but I love everything you do. And I hope hope you come back on one day. Jasmine Stanley, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here with you, truly.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even a 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you just want to get some people together to celebrate the end of the pandemic, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Jasmine Stanley. She was so dope, man. Make sure you're following her on IG right now at My Name Is Jessamine. Follow me as well at NolaWhite101, NolaWhite101. That's good for Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything. Make sure you're following the podcast as well on every platform. That way you get those push notifications when new episodes drop. If you're listening on Apple, go on and hit them 5 stars for your boy. Write me a good review. I do appreciate that. Brand new episode drops next Wednesday. My guest will be Marcus Fitzgerald Jr., the hometown hero of Nashville, Tennessee, going into his second year playing for Tennessee State University men's basketball. We'll talk about what the NIL means to hometown heroes next week on the podcast. It's going to be a great episode. That's it. I'm gone. Until next week. Thank you for checking out the podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.